Jeremiah 31. Close. Don't want to get in no hurry this morning. Hopefully your chicken won't get cold either. But I want to bring to you the Word of God to touch your heart, touch your life, get us ready for the coming of the Lord. How many is ready for His coming now? Amen. Amen. My title of my message this morning is Setting Up Highway Markers. Setting Up Highway Markers. I guess it's because I'm getting a little older, but I've learned to pay much closer attention to the markers along the highway. Those of you that are not will one day, or pay the piper, one or the other. But what's even more important is to recognize all the markers along the spiritual highway. That we must be so careful. So in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 20, if you wouldn't mind standing for the reading of the Word of God. God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. Ephraim is also Israel. And he speaks and he says, "Is Ephraim my son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still." You have to understand, in a particular situation and time, God dealt with Israel over and over and over again in their backslidden condition, in their wayward condition. And He is telling them in their situation where they're at, in their backslidden condition, He said, "Even though I have spoken against him, I do earnestly." You know what earnestly means? It's heartfelt. "I do earnestly remember him. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord." Jeremiah the prophet goes on and gives the word of the Lord. He said, "Set thee up way markers. Make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest," or went. "Turn again." Somebody say, "Turn again." "O virgin of Israel, turn again to this thy city. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backslidden daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." You guys already grabbed the hold of that one. I'll be right back. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivities. The Lord bless thee." He said, this is what the echo across the city is going to be. "Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice in the mountains of holiness." Heavenly Father, speak, Lord Jesus, we pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be exactly what you want to say to the church today. We give you praise and glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask these things. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Even though the Lord was speaking to Israel here, Ephraim, and he refers to them as sons, and he refers to them as the country, or his people Israel as a daughter, I feel like as you really look into this and you study this today, I feel like that this is exactly where the church is in the hour we're living in. In verse 22, it uses the word backsliding or backslidden daughters. And I think as I study and look into the Word of God, there are different levels of backsliding. Now, some of you have already thrown up a wall of defense. It's either black or white, whatever. But don't tune me out or judge me yet till you hear me out. There are different levels of backsliding. Let me tell you why. Those of you understand that when you're on a diet and there's times you backslide. Right? You've been trying your best to stay away from bread till you go by a bakery that's just taking fresh rolls, yeast rolls out of the oven. And you backslide. Right? Come on. This will be a lot easier on you if you'll preach with me for just a little bit. Then there are areas when you know you're not supposed to go back for another drink of alcohol and you backslide. Or you get on a porn site and you backslide. There are different levels of backsliding. I'm here to tell you I'd rather you eat bread is the alternatives. And so would your spirit man. So there are different levels of backsliding. Are you with me now? Okay. Backsliding simply means it's the action of relapsing into a bad way or an error. Not every way a Christian backslide is necessarily a sin. Hello? Come on. There is many ways that we backslide that it is a sin. But we can back up on our spiritual walk with God that puts us in jeopardy that will lead to sin. Come on, somebody. It doesn't mean that we have totally walked away from God or forsaken Him in our relationship. But it certainly implies that we are not where we used to be and we don't have that same commitment or that same devotion that we once had at one time. That's where we are today. We've allowed circumstances, we've allowed this pandemic, we've allowed voices to confuse us, to get us aggravated, to get us at odds with one another. We are in a position and in a time that our commitment and our devotion to Christ is not what it used to be. I know several of you are already intrigued with that last part of verse 22 where it says that a woman shall compass a man. And I stopped in my studies and I asked the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? So I read some commentary and then I meditated upon the Lord. And I believe that this could actually have a double meaning that very closely fit together. I want you to listen. And it's in comparison to where we are in our world today. We have drifted back into a lullaby state. I'm here to tell you, and I had lost this for a moment, but the Holy Ghost brought it back to my attention. We have got to get to a place that we depend upon God, period. We must depend upon God for every circumstances and every situation of our life. Hello. I told you a while ago that this could be a 15-minute message or an hour and 15-minute message. And right now, the way you all are amen me, it's an hour. I'm looking at it real close. We have got to depend upon God. You can make preparations. You can make plans. You can put back a little money in your stocking. You can put back some groceries back in your cupboard and hide them somewhere. In an instant of time, the government can come by and take everything that you thought you was secured with. Security in this life is a figment of your imagination. But security in Jesus Christ will take you out of this world and keep you safe and secure. Well, that deserved a lot better amen than what it got. So that verse of Scripture, the last part of verse 22, says that a woman shall compass a man. As we look deeply into this and listen to me closely, it's reference and to the fact that in the times of Israel, in their decline, that a woman had to take the lead to seek repentance and turn back to God. That's exactly what that scripture is saying. Hear me. Look around. And I appreciate our men starting to step up to the plate. But you look around and it's mainly the women that have taken the lead in many aspects of the church. And we wonder why? Because we are living in a decline. Men, we might as well face it. We have left our devotion and our relationship with God on the back burner. And it's time that we step up to the plate. I didn't write this. Jeremiah. Blame Jeremiah. He said a woman's going to take a man's place. They're going to come past him. Because in the decline of Israel, a woman had to seek repentance first and had to turn back to God. Number two, in that same scenario, I also believe that we see a picture of Israel. We also see a picture of the church. And it's simply saying that the man has left his role as a spiritual leader and head of the home. You have missed your guidepost that has kept you in a straight line and in that straight path. Men, we are to lead in the fear of God and allow nothing. Is it as quiet back there as it is up here? I'm going to tell you the truth. Crucify me if you want to. But I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You ain't going to go through hell looking for me because I didn't tell you the truth. Amen. Men, we have left our spiritual role and leadership and head of the home. We have missed our guideposts that have kept us in line to lead as a man that fears God and allows nothing in his home that would defame the name of Jesus Christ, nor would cause a breach in his family with his relationship with his Savior. Nothing. Nothing. It ain't worth it. There is nothing. It's time a man comes back to his role as the high priest of the home. Wives, shame be on you if you don't take the leadership of your husband in the biblical sense. To lead, men, we must lead in the fear of God, allowing nothing in our home that would defame the name of Jesus nor cause a breach in his or her family, in that relationship with their Savior Jesus Christ. For a long time, I didn't understand what a guidepost was. I understood to a certain context, but it wasn't until I was in Yellowstone National Park and going through some of those back roads and that led to the Grand Tetons. And you go a little ways, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about if you travel the mountains, that there'll be a stake alongside the road on either side that'll go about 6 feet. You go deeper into the mountains and there'll be stakes along the side of the road that go up about 12 feet. Take my glasses off. I got to see you. Anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about? You know what those are there for? When the snow is too deep, it keeps you from going off the cliff. And that's exactly in our spiritual sense. We have left the guidepost. And we're fixing to go off of the cliff. Especially in this time that we're living in. We've got to get back to God. Men, we've got to take our position. We've got to get in that place. We've got to seek God with all of our heart. We've got to hear the voice of God. We've got to know what God is saying in this hour that we're living in. We've got to allow God to rule and reign in our home and our house and not allow anything inside that would be a detriment to our relationship. I don't know about you, but we went through there and there wasn't no snow on the ground. And I would not want to go off on one side of those hills. But yet in our spiritual sense, we are so nonchalant about the guidepost. We're so nonchalant about the road signs that point to destruction, and yet we're absolutely oblivious to what they might mean. You ever been stopped by a police officer and he asked you, did you realize how fast you was going? Anybody up for confession? Good for the soul. And they said, you was going 50 in a 20. Well, I didn't see the sign. Well, we wasn't paying attention. I'll never forget. Actually, it was the last time I was stopped. And actually, it's been about 30 years ago. I had just got a new Christian CD. I think it was Karen Peck. Brother Larry, I had just craped her up. And I mean, we was having church going down one of the streets in Rogers. And the police officer pulled me over and said, do you know how fast she's going? I said, no, sir, I don't. It was Karen Peck. It's all her fault. I wasn't paying attention. I was not present with where I needed to be. Okay? Sometimes spiritual things need to be spiritual things, and realistic things need to be realistic things. Hello? My point is, I wasn't paying attention to the road signs. And by the way, it was a female police officer, and she could care less if I was listening to her. We are negligent watching for road signs. In the country up in the mountains, you'll see a lot of these. Out of control, runaway truck ramps. You've seen those truck ramps that veer off of the road when their brakes have went out going down a hill. I'm fearful of so many in our church world today that we've went downhill and we've picked up speed and we've lost control. But I want you to know there's a safety net if you look to Him. I said there's a safety net. The first verse of scripture that I read to you, verse number 20, God told Jeremiah, you tell the people, I have spoke against them. I have talked about them, but my heart still yearns for them. My love for them. Church, we are not where we used to be. And it's time that we heed the voice of God and we hear what the Spirit is saying to us, and we've got to get back on track. And there is no shortcuts. There is no shortcuts. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a darling child and beloved? For as often as I have spoken against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my affection is stirred and my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy, pity, loving kindness for him, says the Lord. Listen, church, we've come a long way, baby, and it ain't all been good. We've worshipped the creation more than we have worshiped the Creator in recent days, as Chris spoke to us Wednesday night. We don't look at it that way, but we must be mightily careful to look at the road signs, because there is times we have worshiped creation more than we have worshiped the Creator. Are you ready? We've allowed fear and confusion to rule our everyday life. We have allowed division to separate our families and even church members and friends. Folks, this had not ought to be so. It's not God's plan and will. Satan has set up a strategic attack to destroy, to kill, to steal, and to absolutely eliminate. Satan's proclamation over hell's gateway is to destroy the church without firing a shot. God help us when we feel like being right is more important the being in unity. Brothers and sisters, my friends, that will preach. God help us when we feel like being right is more important than being in unity. Especially among those of the household of God and the family of God. I remember I had an issue several years ago and I called my superintendent and talked to him, my state overseer, and talked to him about the situation. And he told me over the phone with all the love in his heart, he said, "Do not defend yourself." I said, "What are you talking about, Willis?" Me and Johnny, that ain't our temperament. Huh? Ain't most of his temperament either. Don't defend myself, but I'm right. Don't defend yourself. We live at a time and a day and an hour to where we got to be right regardless. And it has cost us dearly. It's cost us dearly. It is God's will that we be in unity. You don't have to be right. You don't have to be right. Have you ever read Matthew chapter 7, verse number 6, where it says, "It's not wise to cast your pearls before swine"? You know what that simply means is be wise enough not to argue about those things that to those that ain't going to listen anyway. They've already made up their mind. Pray for them and move on. Man, I'm preaching good this morning. They've already made up their mind. Just pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And move on. Listen, God loves you regardless of how you're being treated. And God loves you no matter how you treat Him. But it's time we turn around. No matter how many times we ignore Him. No matter how many times we compromise our convictions. No matter how many times we water them down. And we continue to progress on our own ideology. I didn't copy this out of no book. Okay? Didn't even have another book open other than my Bible. And God speaking to my heart. He sees you. When you progress on your own ideology. He sees you going in. He sees you coming out. He sees you when you're sleeping. And He sees you when you're awake. And there's times He wishes you would go back to sleep. His concern and His love for you doesn't die just because you swerve off path and detour off of your own adventure. On your own adventure. Verse 21, He says, "Set up for yourself highway markers." And in the parentheses of what He was saying, set yourself highway markers back to Canaan. Make for yourself guideposts. Turn your thoughts and your attention to the way by which you went into exile. Not the good way. It's not the bad way. Children of Israel had been in exile. And the reason they went to exile is because they took a detour. And they was not following the paths of God. And they was not listening to the road signs. And Jeremiah is telling the people with intensity here. Turn your thoughts and your attention by the way that took you back to exile. And make you some highway markers and some guideposts. And to help you get back to Canaan where you come from. Where the blessings of God flow. Is anybody listening? He tells us to retrace our steps. O virgin Israel, return to these your cities. Retrace your steps. Don't go to areas you've never been before. They'll get you in trouble. Don't travel paths that you're not sure of. They'll get you in trouble. He's telling us to make some markers, to set up some guideposts, so we'll know how to get back where God is speaking to our hearts. In verse 21, He is specifically calling you back to where you left the highway. Hello? Are y'all still awake? He is calling Israel, His children, back to Canaan where the blessings flow. Just as He is calling His blood-bought church, His children of God, to retrace their steps to the place where they followed their own path and they left the blessings and the favor of God a long way back there. Most of the time when we was in Montana, we was on interstate, but there was a couple of times that we had to take a different path to get where we was going. And there was one path, Brother Aaron, that was about 20, 25 miles long that weaved its way through the mountain path. Though the scenery was beautiful, if I did not keep my eyes on the road, it would be very easily to get off. And it wouldn't have been pretty. It was very important that I kept my eyes on the road. There was another instance where we was going up to the cabin in the mountain, and my wife was very unsure that me or the GPS had a clue of where we was going. I'm just here to tell you, it's imperative that we follow this GPS. It's imperative. If you don't, you're going to get mixed up in this world we're living in. You're going to hear voices that's contrary to this book. Hear me, church. Hear me, church. Hear me, church. I said we're going to get mixed up and we're going to hear voices that are contrary to this book. We've got to follow the voice of God. We've got to follow the Spirit. I preached to you 2 or 3 weeks about staying in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we fall out of the presence of Jesus Christ, we are in dire trouble of falling off of the road, getting off of the highway. Church, it's imperative. It's imperative. Listen, this highway that He was telling the children of Israel to get back on, to retrace your steps. He is telling the church today, we've got to retrace our steps. I know that my generation and me and Brother Ronnie's old as dirt, but I'm here to tell you that there was some things that we've left behind that we've got to go back and pick up. Amen. We've got to, church. He is speaking to His blood-bought children to retrace their steps to a place where they follow, to get them back because they have followed their own path and lived the blessings and favor of God. Verse 22 said, "And how long will you waver and hesitate?" Is that not where we are right now? Is that not where we are right now? How long are we going to hesitate? How long are we going to waver? Well, should I do this or should I do that? Should I really get serious about God? Do I really need to be faithful to church? Do I really need to pay my tithes? Do I really need to do all those things? Is it that vitally important? I'm here to tell you, church, it's vitally important that we stay in the Word of God. We live by the Word of God. We absolutely digest the Word of God. It's the only thing that's going to get us out of this world alive. I know some of you may think, Pastor's done went off over the deep end. He's done went detoured. He's done fell off one of the mountains. But I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you the straight way that'll get you back to Canaan to receive the blessings of God. And you know what? I ain't even through yet. How long will you waver? How long will you hesitate to return, O you backslidden daughters? And again, I want to reiterate to you, I don't believe we haven't gone back to the bars. We haven't went back to the honky-tonks. We haven't, man, that's a word you don't even hear no more, is it? We haven't went back and just totally, we haven't blasphemed God or any of those things, but we are not where we once were. How long? God said, I'm creating something new. I'm creating something new. Females shall compass, will win and protect a man, that they are covering their household with prayer. I've already elaborated on this verse somewhat, but the question is asked, how long will you debate which road to take? Why are you hesitating to make the choice you already know you need to make? Verse 23 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once more they shall use these words in the land of Judah and in her cities when I release them from exile. The Lord bless you, O habitation of justice and righteousness, O holy mountain. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. God has given me a love and a care for you that I lack words to express. But my love and care for you is about this big compared to what God loves and cares for you. The Lord is intently waiting on you to avoid all the caution signs and return to the place where you had at one time an experience the blessings of God. He desires for you to rekindle the fire and allow His Spirit to guide you. It's His good pleasure to lead you beside the still waters and lay you down in green pastures. His blessings are rich and they addeth no sorrow. And somebody say a great big amen.
Amen.
Oh, my. Can I say that one more time? He desires for you to rekindle the fire. It's your place to rekindle the fire. And He desires for you to rekindle the fire and allow His Spirit to guide you. It's His good pleasure to lead you beside the still waters and lay you down in green pastures. And His blessings are rich and have no sorrow. Galatians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says this, For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You see, the reason I read that verse of Scripture was to get to the next verse of Scripture. But the circumcision and uncircumcision in biblical days was as contradictory as vaccine or no vaccine in our day. Salute. And God said, don't matter, neither one. Follow me. In the next verse of Scripture, He said, you didn't run well. But you have allowed circumcision and uncircumcision to get you off track. You know what's coming next. You've allowed vaccine and unvaccine and mask and non-mask to get you off track. I'd really like to preach this message today in Taj Mahal or John Hagee's church or T.D. Jakes. This afternoon I'm going to be waiting for the phone call. I'm here to tell you, I'm telling you the truth. I'm preaching to you today. We've allowed to get ourselves off track. And the next verse of Scripture says you didn't run well. What has hindered you that you do not obey the truth? We've allowed issues to become more important than what God is saying. Okay, I want you to listen real closely to what I've got to say. Sitting in my office yesterday morning, God spoke to my heart. If I've ever heard God speak to my heart, He spoke to my heart. I want you to listen closely. Church, when we get off track, there is a void that develops in our life. When we forsake the race, we want to endeavor to endure. I said there is a void. Some of you right now are wrestling with some things, and you feel like there's such a void. You're wondering. You're not even sure what you feel anymore. There's such a void that develops in our lives when we forsake the race that we once endeavored to endure. The struggles was more than what we anticipated and longer than what we figured on. Our eyes started noticing what we were facing with our immediate surroundings. And we failed to see in the Spirit what God had for us that lie ahead. Your present circumstance, are you hearing me? Your present circumstance can make you see what the flesh either desires or fears. And it keeps you captivated by your own rationale. I know that's deep. And after I typed it out, after God spoke to Mark, I've read it several times to grasp a hold of it. Is it all right if I read it again?
Yes.
The struggles that we face. When we got saved, we felt like, man, it's going to be gravy. Biscuits and gravy from here on out. But the struggles that we are experiencing, that we anticipated, has lasted longer than what we really figured was going to last. And our eyes started noticing the circumstances of our surroundings. And we failed to look at those things. And we could not see what God has for us ahead of us in the Spirit. And our present circumstances, we react on those because of what our flesh either desires or fears. And through that, it keeps us captivated by our own rationale. Figure it out. I'll get it figured out. I'll get it figured out. I'll get it figured out. Instead of turning our life over to God. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16, 17. This is what the Lord says. Standing at the crossroad. And looking and asking for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. You will find rest for your soul. There's so many that's still repeating the words of our ancestors. We're not going to walk in them. Verse 17, I have appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they and we are saying, we're not going to listen. Sad to say that there is a valid absence of a Christian's desire to do the will of God in the day we're living in. It's the reality of one standing at the crossroad, not wanting to go the way that will profit their entire circumstances of life and their family. We see the road signs. We refuse to heed the warning. We have pulled up the guideposts that have kept us going on the straight and narrow. We're tired and we're weary, but we refuse to walk in the ways that gives us rest. And only listen to the watchman God has put in our life as long enough to make them think we're going the right direction, while all along playing games with God refusing to allow Jesus to put real happiness back into our lives. Listen, church, you're at the wheel. Only you can turn it around. It's your choice. Whether you heed the road signs or not, but I'm telling you, if you fail in obedience, you're taking your own life in your own hands. And I ask you today, what will be your life story? What will your legacy be that you're going to leave behind? What will be the legacy and the stories told at your funeral? What's going to be your decision at this moment as you face the crossroads of life? Heads bowed and eyes closed.